The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss.
Celcom managed to turn things around last year following three straight years of declines. For instance, they have regained the second biggest market share in terms of service revenue. Question is, will that momentum hold in 2018? This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we welcome the CEO of Celcom Axiata, Michael Kuner. Good morning, Michael, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Han.
Now, about a year ago, we had Tan Sri Jamaluddin Ibrahim, Axiata Group CEO, on The Breakfast Grill, and he said 2016 was a year he wanted to forget, and a lot of that had to do with Celcom. Now, I trust that Tan Sri Jamaluddin is a happier man nowadays, given Celcom's rebound in 2017. So give us a brief overview of the year that was for Celcom.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think Tan Sri has forgotten by now. But just to start from the start, I think you mentioned already, Celcom had a pretty tough time, 3 years of decline in revenue and profit, lost market share. And very happy to say and to see that over the last year, 2017, we regained some of that. But let me start from the beginning. In the very beginning, when new management took over in Celcom, we fixed our strategy and anchored it very strongly on customer experience. And we introduced KPIs all through the company. We are pretty hang up on Net Promoter Score all through the company, everything we do. And we implemented that step by step. And during the show, we can maybe come to more details on that one. But what happened then, and I think it's really a consequence and a result of this, we were able to regain some of those positions. First of all, we stopped the decline of revenue. Actually, we gained back some revenue. If you see the last quarter, 2.5% growth in service revenue. Over the year, we gained back about 0.6% market share. So everything very positive on the revenue side. But also on the profit side, you can see in the numbers that we stepped up from where we have been. Not enough yet, I have to say. There's still more to come. And this is pretty much on the plan in 2018, but we did a very good first step.
Right, things positive on the profit front, on revenue, but at the same time, last year, Celcom lost about 1 million subscribers. Now, we understand that SIM consolidation, that is a big theme in the telco sector over the last year or so. So do you expect SIM consolidation to continue in 2018? Do you expect to lose more subscribers moving forward?
I think it's a little bit different if you look on the postpaid and the prepaid side to start with. But yes, on the prepaid side, there is consolidation. Some of that is internal, where we clean up databases. We had a scheme of lifelong SIM ownership years back. It's a legacy issue, but it was really time to get our numbers right here, what we did. I think going forward, I wouldn't expect the same scale as we've had in the past, but you are right to mention in the market overall, there is a bit of a consolidation of SIMs happening with people with 2, 3, 4 SIMs, and this is possibly going to shift to less numbers. Also on the trend, which is another trend in the market, prepaid to postpaid, which is actually supporting that.
But if you look at, say, 2013, 2014, Celcom had the most number of subscribers. So moving forward, is that going to be a core part of your strategy? Or is it more about getting more ARPU, more average revenue per user from your existing but perhaps dwindling subscriber base?
Yeah, I don't foresee a dwindling subscriber base going forward, but you are right that in a market which is basically oversaturated and very, very mature, the game on acquisition is becoming less important than the play on keeping your subscribers, keeping your customers, treating them well, and possibly have an increased share of wallet on their side. So what we are tracking as a company beside, and I come back to this, the Net Promoter Score, which is the most important KPI we are tracking, of course, revenue. We are not tracking subscribers. Of course, it is important to have acquisition, and we do acquisition drives, and we are still on out to get new consumers, new subscribers in the company. But we are not so much hang up on how many subscribers we have. It's more about how much revenue we have, how much ARPU we have.
How do you go about retaining customers, given how fickle the mobile subscriber space here is in Malaysia? I mean, myself, I ported from a telco within minutes. So how do you try to maintain that edge in an increasingly fickle market?
You see, even if you look into surveys nowadays, of course, price is still very relevant. But there are many, many other areas which is increasingly relevant for consumers in that environment that we have. One of it is customer service. The other one is network experience and quality. And I'm very happy to say that our drive to increase customer happiness and net promoter score has led to tremendous results. So from an independent survey in end of 2017 done by Nielsen, we have actually regained our number one position in net promoter score in the country with a substantial head towards the next in the game. We are undisputed number one in retail satisfaction, undisputed number one in contact center satisfaction, and also in a leading position in the network experience. So these are the drivers that we measure and track, which keep consumers with us. And that's actually what I focus on.
But everyone is promising the same thing, right? Won't it ultimately come down to a price point, a price differentiation? Now, we understand that your right-hand man, your deputy CEO, has constantly said in the media that you are not going to engage in a price war. Is that just empty words? Because at the end of the day, that's what people want?
You see, we see in the market even an increasing trend of people looking for value, and that's what we are doing. Our game is not, and I think Aswan has mentioned that a couple of times publicly, and I have as well, we are not looking for cheap deals. We are looking for value, delivering value to our customers for a reasonable and competitive price. And I think that's what we have in our packages, with the attraction on customers moving up the packages. So you see, it's a matter of positioning yourself, and you can go in the market and do everything at the cheapest price. We think if you do this, you have to sacrifice value, because you can't guarantee and provide the same network experience, as an example, as somebody who invests in the network to a very large extent, hence has another price point.
So speaking about your market positioning, you have said that you want to be a strong number two, right? You are already number two when it comes to market share of service revenue. Does this mean Maxis is just beyond Celcom's reach?
You see, I think if you talk about positioning, I really don't like a number two play, because it's like you said, what about the other one? Mm-hmm. To me, it's more about, and that's what we are communicating and driving inside the company, that we become the number one challenger in the country in everything we do.
Number one challenger,
right? Okay. And that challenger means we are the number one challenger in when it comes to product transparency. We are the number one already in customer service, but we keep that position. We are the challenger when it comes to network experience. So we do things very differently to what we were used to do. We are in a digital transformation as a company, changing the mindset, changing agility, changing the way we do things, and by that we are a very different telco provider altogether. And this is a position I would like to promote, not so much a number one, two, three, or four.
Oh, just using the words that you guys have said in the past, strong number two. So will there be a greater emphasis on revenue growth or cost management? Where is the bias right now?
You can't do the one and not the other. That is something which is evenly important. We talked about consumer experience in the first place. We talked about revenue. We haven't talked much about cost, which doesn't mean that we don't deal with cost. We have a very effective cost efficiency program by now. We have also, I think, created some sort of more DNA in the company to deal with cost carefully and efficiently. And of course, we are going on with this, because the overall development into more investment into capacity in a stagnating market, or in a price stable market, or even declining to some extent, you need to have your cost very much under control, and that's what we do.
Has the cost efficiency program entailed job cuts, or what's the plan on headcount right now at Celcom?
We don't have specific plans on headcount. The efficiencies delivered over the last year were all in the area of OPEX, not so much in headcount.
Let's talk about your capital expenditure. So for this year, you have earmarked 1.3 billion ringgit. That's still significantly higher than your competitors, though. It's almost double or about double what DG has allocated for this year. Why this extensive spending?
So you sound a little bit like the discussions of my board. I don't know where you get that information from, but let me explain to you, and I think you know the industry long enough. First of all, Celcom has a bit lost out on investment over some time, and we are still somehow in the catch-up mode. Also, if you look into numbers last year, we have an LTE coverage of 87% by now. We're moving this year to 92, and 87 already is pretty good and puts us at par with the industry here. But what we really want to do is, and that goes in line with our customer retention, customer experience strategy, we want to accelerate in terms of network experience, and if I'm very specific, in terms of video experience, because 80%, more than 80% of the usage, data usage, is actually video. So we need to provide, wherever customers are, an excellent and best-in-class video experience. And that costs money, so we are spending on this heavily this year. Obviously, going forward, we expect the CapEx trend to go down because it wouldn't be sustainable otherwise. But for this year, we'll have another round of improvement ahead of us, which will put us clearly ahead of the industry.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk about broader industry trends, perhaps some consolidation here in Malaysia. I'm speaking to Michael Kuhner, CEO of Celcom Axiata.
The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss.
Thanks for staying with us on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me is Michael Kuhner, CEO of Celcom Axiata. Now, Michael, in the first half, you spoke about how the Malaysian market is mature, it's oversaturated, and we've had Tan Sri Jamaluddin say that three telcos, that's ideal. Sigve Brekke of Telenor also saying the same thing. So what do you think? Can markets expect consolidation in the near term?
I think if you look around worldwide, consolidation in telecom markets seems to be a thing which is extremely difficult to predict because it is on the map in a couple of countries and it doesn't happen. And at some time it happens, but very much later. So what I would say is that in Malaysia, and I'm comparing to other markets, ratio, population and number of providers, it is a little bit overcrowded in terms of players. Which obviously is a benefit for the customers because he's spoiled of choices, and that's a good thing. And it also keeps us all on the toes for being competitive and not rusting away. But on the other side, if you have such a situation and the current price points and the necessity to invest in the network, the game may not be sustainable for everybody in the game because it's just the ratio of revenue and investment doesn't pay off. So meaning to say that there is a logic to consolidate in the market and it will happen at some time. But don't ask me how many will be the result. And also don't ask me when it will happen because this is not possible to.
But is that influencing your business decisions now? Because you have stated that you are having to invest heavily. Is that somewhat tempered with perhaps some consolidation in mind further down the road?
No, not at all. That's a clear no. We are not taking any decision nowadays in expectation of something. We are just running our business. We have determined our strategic roadmap. We have the investments and the programs lined up, and we are executing it. There's absolutely no look into possible consolidations.
Let's also talk about this recent product offering that Celcom has rolled out. It's a customizable mobile plan, Udo. And it's not unique to Celcom because Maxis also has Ukyo, DG has Tap. Now, how does this fit into your overall strategy?
We have started Udo with two reasons in mind. One of them is to serve a very specific segment in the market, which is the young generation, internet savvy, e-commerce savvy, using their credit card anyway for e-commerce shopping. And these guys are looking for a smooth online experience. They are not willing to pick up a phone to call a contact center. They are not willing to go in a shop to ask questions or buy something. They want to do that to have that delivered at their hand and at their fingertip at any point in time when they want it. And this is exactly the segment we are targeting with Udo. The whole experience is online. The plan is completely transparent and customizable. Everybody can choose himself how many SMS, how many you want to spend on SMS, on data, on voice. He can also change that anytime at his fingertip. So it's pretty much a self-servicing, very transparent offering. And by the way, we are seeing good traction when that starts. So that's the first part of it. But the second part, which is even important, is that we are obviously on a way to transform ourselves into a digital telco. And this gives us a very attractive playing ground in trying out things. How would that work? So the idea is, and you know that the Udo team is kept sort of given a lot of freedom and kept a bit separate from the main ship. They have their own office. It's a young team, and they are just pulling this off. And they are obviously experimenting. They are free to experiment with a couple of things. So we think when they do this in that a little bit more freedom space, we can possibly readapt that in the mothership at some time and accelerate our digital agenda. So there are two actually reasons for the Udo experience. But I think coming back to the first one, for the consumer, whoever is trying it will be delighted. So far, very positive feedback about the experience itself. And it's just that more need to try it to make it a little bit more viable.
Okay. But does this risk, does Udo risk cannibalizing some of your existing subscribers? I'm thinking perhaps more so in the prepaid rather than the postpaid segment.
So far not. We see first tractions. Of course, we monitor the MNPs coming in, some from Cellcom. They are evenly from other providers. So I don't see that. And I don't see it also because if conceptually, from what I explained, it is not in a head-on competition to any prepaid or postpaid. It is delivering a different experience altogether. And the key attraction point is to have this experience delivered in an ideal way to people who want so.
You have used the word experience quite a bit in this chat so far. Let's talk about the 700 megahertz spectrum reallocation. Bids are in, decision by the MCMC expected in the coming months. So what does this actually mean for the Cellcom user once you finally find out what you get?
Yeah, it's a very good point. And I think you've had enough talks with industry and colleagues to know that spectrum is the lifeline of our industry. And the rapidly increasing usage of data, to give you a number, we grow the traffic in our network grows about 50% year over year. We have now 8.5 GB per user, per active user usage, which is pretty high, even if you look into international comparison and benchmarks. So very data hungry, and obviously data comes with spectrum. Without spectrum, you can't deliver the speed you want to deliver. So it's very important for us to have a fair share to the 700 megahertz, which is coming up. It's an ideal spectrum for wide coverage and also to increase data speeds to where we want to be. So this is an important step for the industry before we get into 5G, which will give a completely different spectrum world and a different type of speed altogether.
Let's now talk about 5G. So Cellcom and Ericsson conducted 5G tests here in Malaysia about a year ago, right? May 2017. Yes. So why those tests, and do you have any updates for us?
You know, the test is just to prepare ourselves and to set a starting point for our own development, because as with every new technology coming up, you need to prepare yourself. So it's not just something that you put in the field and switch it on. A new technology in a network has a tremendous impact on every element of the network, be it the core, be it the transmission. So we are in a program now to prepare ourselves for 5G technology, which is in itself a radio technology with a tremendous throughput. It will increase speed and throughput and decrease latency to a exponential extent, I would say. So it's quite a quantum leap here, what we are doing. Mm. So meaning, if you do this, you need to have all the back end prepared, and that's what we are doing at the moment. And I think there is a very good reason to accelerate 5G deployment in Malaysia on the way to creating a digital nation, which is obviously the program behind it, because there are two use cases which are very, very important. And these are the use cases, by the way, which you see rolled out or tackled in other parts of the world as well. One is the famous IoT game, which will, of course, accelerate with 5G because of some of the latency requirements you have. And then the other one is the fixed wireless broadband, which will give you a very cost-effective way to provide fixed wireless broadband to areas which you can't reach with fiber to a tremendous speed and capacity. So these two cases, if we can, the earliest possible, we need, as usual, there is a spectrum need behind that. So if there is a possibility to give an early round of spectrum assignments in some higher bands, 28 gigahertz or whatever we need for this technology, would be great, because then we can start using it for this specific purposes. Not so much for the end consumer mass market, which will come at some time, but that's not the early stage of rollout.
So any timeline yet? I think you mentioned that it's still a ways off.
Again, that depends really very much on the spectrum side. The 3GPP standard for 5G will be finalized most likely this year. And then you could go into commercial rollout of any sort, be it fixed wireless, be it mass market. But you need a substantial amount of spectrum for this. And I don't have a timeline for the spectrum assignment at the moment.
All right, let me just wrap up with some comments from MIDF Research, saying that looking ahead, their primary concern with Celcom is about your future prospects, you know, mainly due to pricing pressures in view of the competitive mobile landscape and tax and regulatory uncertainties. Are you concerned about that? Price pressures, uncertainties?
I'm just wondering about the the price pressure point we discussed a couple of times, and I gave you my answer in a way. So we are, at the moment, we are rather expecting a flattish market going forward. But again, not always possible to predict these type of things. I'm not worried about uncertainties on the tax or regulatory side. I think that's a pretty stable environment in Malaysia. Actually, happy to operate here, and in a good alignment and support from MCMC and the ministry. So that's a very good industry spirit overall, which is driving the market. So going forward, what I see is a challenging market in a way, because any market which is mature, saturated, is a challenging market, because you need to have the fantasy and the creativity to create offerings that hit the expectation and fantasies of the subscribers. So we are doing this. So the market we see flattish, in fact, in line with most of the analysts. So it's really a game of increasing customer loyalty, retention, delivering better value for hopefully the same price.
And I wish you all the best in making those fantasies become realities. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. That was Michael Kuhner, CEO of Celcom Axiata. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss.